This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on bankruptcy law. We're going to focus on consumers making realistic decisions regarding foreclosures, borrowing from loan sharks with very, very high interest rates, and also student loans. My guest is a fellow who's given incredible time to this program and to those of you who are regular listeners. Leon Baer has been a guest on my program a number of times. He has been incredibly gracious with his time. When we do Call a Lawyer Night, which is usually the fourth Wednesday of the month, Leon will take calls the following morning on his 800 number while he's in his office in Los Angeles. And that's what he's going to do this coming October 24th, which will be our next Call a Lawyer, the day after Call a Lawyer. That evening on October 23rd, the new state bar elected president, Luis Rodriguez, will be our guest. And then Leon will take calls the following morning, and we will have on the 23rd our Call a Lawyer Night. Leon Baer is a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. His offices are in Los Angeles on the 19th floor of his building. He frequently has nosebleeds, as I understand it. He's the co-author of the NOLO Consumer Books, and these are outstanding books. I'm a real believer in NOLO books. NOLO has never been a funder of this program, but I'm very impressed with their work product. His books are New Bankruptcy, Will It Work For You, 5th edition, and the latest is The Foreclosure Survival Guide, which is another new edition. And his blog, you might want to jot this down, is bankruptcyblogger.org, bankruptcyblogger.org. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, which certifies 11 fields of law, which include not only bankruptcy law, but appellate law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, franchise and distribution law, immigration and nationality law, taxation law, workers' compensation law, legal malpractice law, and admiralty and maritime law. Additional funding is provided by the Family Law Section of the State Bar and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Leon, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
Wonderful to have you here. Let's start, as you had suggested, with student loans. My understanding has been that with the change in bankruptcy laws going back a few years, it's really, really nearly close to impossible for someone who has a student loan to ever see any help through bankruptcy. What thoughts do you have on this?
Well, you are basically correct. The bankruptcy laws make it extremely difficult to discharge student loans in bankruptcy. The exception for that in the bankruptcy law is to obtain what we call a hardship discharge of student loans. In order to do that, you have to convince the bankruptcy judge, a federal bankruptcy judge, that it will be an undue hardship on you or one of your dependents if you have to pay all or part of a student loan. But the standards for finding undue hardship is a very high bar, and most people will never be able to meet the burden. Most of the court decisions in which student loan hardship discharge has been granted in a bankruptcy court involve people with very serious permanent disabilities which render them unable to earn a meaningful livelihood. So if you are struggling with a student loan but you're in good health, bankruptcy is probably not going to offer much of a resort for you.
I received today on the internet, I get an incredible number of internet messages, emails on my computer from an outfit called Scambook, which represents itself as being the internet's leading consumer advocacy platform, warning about what's called Instagram users to steer clear of fraudulent Sallie Mae Instagram accounts allegedly offering student loan forgiveness due to the government shutdown. You have some comments and some warnings to students about what may be out there as scams.
Yeah, it's a very good warning. And you internet users, we're all constantly besieged with spam emails, and so many of them are looking for private financial information on you. So, for example, if you don't have any student loans and you find an email in your inbox talking about student loan forgiveness, you're just going to delete it. But if you do have a student loan and you're struggling with it and you'd like to find some assistance, you may be tempted to open it. And if it looks official, and so many of these do look official, you make an inquiry, and pretty soon you're giving them your personal financial information, and you're giving them all the things they need to know to steal your identity. Another thing that happens with these is there's a huge amount of, I think, fraudulent activity going on now involving student loan negotiation. I'm hearing a lot of radio ads and seeing television advertisements for outfits that claim that they can help you negotiate down your student loans. I've never heard of any organization doing this successfully. It sounds like the newest incarnation of the loan modification scams for homeowners that we have heard so much about over the last few years. And so I think that the student loan negotiators are the newest incarnation of a financial scam that preys on people who have debt problems. People in debt are easy game for crooks and thieves.
Well, a lot of people are desperate. And they're looking for something that's going to help them when they're being overwhelmed by creditors chasing them, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they're looking for a miracle, and you know, they may take their last $500 and give it to one of these companies hoping for a miracle, and you're not going to get it. If you owe money on student loans and you're having a difficult time or an impossible time paying them, there may be some things you can do. Chuck, is this a good moment for me to go into a discussion about that?
Oh, sure, please.
Okay.
Please do.
Your student loans really break down into two categories. There are what we call federal or subsidized student loans, and these are student loans that are made under the auspices of a federal agency, the Department of Education, or through banks who enjoy loan guarantees that are offered by the federal government. So, in effect, the federal government is going to be your co-signer. If you don't pay the loan back, the feds have to do it. Of course, you're still on the hook then to the feds if you've defaulted. But that's what we call a subsidized or a federal student loan. The other category are private loans. Private loans typically arise with people who go to vocational schools, the schools that are going to teach you how to be a nurse's aide or a computer technician, things like that. They now call themselves private universities for the most part. They've gotten away from the terminology trade school and vocational school that they used to be known by a few years ago. They've tried to improve their public image. So now they're private universities. And what happens so often is people go to these private universities. The funding for them frequently today comes from private student loans, and that's Citibank, Wells Fargo Bank are very big players in this. Other banks are also involved, and they will loan you money to pay your tuition. And these are private student loans, and the drawback to them is the interest rates on them are quite a bit higher than what you get with government-subsidized student loans. The interest rates on private student loans are pretty close to what you see on a commercial for-profit loan. And these are for-profit loans. If you become seriously ill, perhaps permanently disabled, there is no mechanism built into these private loans to give you any relief. On the other hand, the federal loans, the other category, if you become disabled, suffer other kinds of hardship, you may get very, very real, very substantial relief on your federal loans. You will not get that kind of relief on the private loans. So private loans are a big problem, and I get phone calls. I must get 2 phone calls a day from prospective clients begging for some kind of help on dealing with the private loans from vocational education that they had. They come out of school, and they think they're going to make $40-$50 an hour, and they're earning minimum wage and facing a monthly student loan payment of close to $1,000
a month.
Wow. They come out of these schools owing anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000 for an education that looks to me like it was pretty worthless.
Oh, what a shame. What a shame. I'd like to know in your practice what percentage of your clients who obviously come to see you for bankruptcy advice and to determine whether or not it would be appropriate for them to file for bankruptcy, what percentage would you say of those people are coming to you where they feel they are being harassed by bill collectors?
I would say it's pretty close to 100%.
No kidding. Is the harassment or are the harassments in violation of the debt collector law, of the federal law, or what would you say about that?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Most of them are. Now, you know, harassment is sort of a state of mind.
Yes.
The Supreme Court teaches us that in the area of obscenity, you know it when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, harassment is kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
A bill collector may call you and politely ask for payment, and you may feel they're harassing you.
I see.
That's not harassment. That's legitimate.
Sure.
But if they call you every 10 minutes, that's harassment, and that breaks the law because they are committing an intentional infliction of emotional suffering upon you. They're trying to make you crack. They would like you to give them your rent money instead of paying your landlord, pay it to them because they're putting so much pressure on you, you're desperate to get them off your back.
What do you recommend to your clients when they are being constantly called on the phone, and what would be obviously a violation of the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act? What do you recommend that they do, if anything?
Well, I tell my clients that whenever they get a phone call from a bill collector, just let them know, let the bill collector know that you are now being represented by an attorney. A third-party debt collector, and that means a collection agency, not the original party you owed money to. A third-party debt collector is required to stop contacting you and contact only your attorney once they know you are represented. If you're not represented by an attorney and you're being hounded by these people, just say, I'm not going to pay you. What are they going to do? If you are unemployed, you're disabled, you're living on Social Security, if you're in a category that we lawyers refer to as judgment proof, that means if someone sues you, oh, they can win in court, but they're never going to be able to collect. You don't have anything. You don't have to put up with the bill collector harassment. Just say, I'm not going to pay you. You call me 100 times today, I'm not going to pay you. Another thing to do that I tell people, whether you have a lawyer or not, is if a bill collector is giving you a difficult time, just announce on the phone with the bill collector, just announce, I want you to know I'm now recording this call. It is perfectly legal to record a telephone call in the state of California, so long as you announce you're doing it. Whether you're really recording the call or not, just say you are. I guarantee you, the tone of the conversation will immediately change because they don't want you to have a recording of them committing any legal violations.
Of course not, because that could then be not only personally a personal lawsuit against them, but also if they were to complain, for example, to the local DA's office or the Attorney General's office, there could well be an unfair, unlawful business action, government practice, government lawsuit against the bill collector. So that obviously would not be something a bill collector would like to get involved with. What about people who are desperate for, let's say they're desperate to get money to pay certain bills, and they go to the local loan guy who I think you would probably refer to as the loan shark, where the interest rate is enormous, to take out some money. What comments do you have for these people?
Well, a client told me yesterday that a bill collector on the phone told her to go and get one of these fast cash loans so that she could then use that loan money to pay off the debt that the collector was trying to collect from her, knowing full well she had no ability to pay back anything, but he'd rather see some other company stuck with her bad debt than his.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get that. I understand it. Of course, I told her, don't do that. That would be silly. Bill collectors will just tell you all kinds of outrageous things, frequently crossing the line into breaking the law, telling you things that are illegal, such as threatening that they can have a sheriff down there, they can have you arrested. But they do try and steer you into taking these fast cash loans. You hear the advertisements for them constantly on the radio and on television, and they make it sound so easy and they sound so friendly. But, you know, there's a horrible price to pay if you get into bed with one of those. For example, the website, I went to the website of one of those companies that advertises a great deal. I don't need to say their name. The listeners of your show, Chuck, are going to know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I went to their website, and I read the fine print, and the very typical small loan that they advertise of about $2,600. If you borrow that money from them, they tell you right on their own website, the interest rate could be as high as 184%
per year.
That means if you borrow $2,600 and you make all your payments on time, you never incur a late charge, to borrow $2,600, you're going to pay them back $18,000.
Mm.
$18,000 for a loan of $2,600. Folks, if you do that to yourself, you're absolutely crazy. People will turn to these loan sharks all the time because you're behind on car payments. That is the most typical reason for getting such a loan. You figure, okay, I'll get one of these, I'll catch up my car payments, I'll get my life straightened out. And, you know, if you just don't make enough money to make ends meet, one of these loans is not going to help you straighten things out.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to talk to a bankruptcy lawyer. Are bankruptcy lawyers expensive? First off, virtually every bankruptcy lawyer will give you a free consultation. We do that because we know you're broke. If you're coming to us, you don't want to spend precious money on a consultation that might not do you any good. So we offer, almost all of us offer a free consultation. The next thing to do is figure out how are you going to pick a lawyer to talk to. The best place to go is the State Bar of California website, which has a listing of all the State Bar certified bankruptcy specialists.
Let me give that website now because I think it's very important that people get that. If you prefer the phone, the statewide telephone for the Board of Legal Specialization, where you can find out who bankruptcy certified specialists in your area are, or any of the other specialties in the 11 specialties of the Board of Legal Specialization, it's 415-538-2100. 415-538-2100, or you can go to the website, which is www.californiaspecialist, that's singular, specialist, californiaspecialist.org, that's californiaspecialist.org, and by doing that, you can find in your geographic area who the certified specialists are and then get in touch with them. And also, I want to let you know that if you want any one of the 11 free pamphlets that the Board of Legal Specialization has, you can contact both either the phone number or the website, and they'll send you a free pamphlet in any one of the 11 specialties. And so What about attorneys, though, Leon, who, let's say, are not certified specialists? What recommendations do you have in this economic climate where perhaps the practice of law in different areas is maybe not as good as it has been because people don't have as much money, or if someone or some persons would like to get a dissolution of marriage, but it's too expensive and they stay together, et cetera, et cetera. What recommendations do you have where, let's say, attorneys who are practicing in other areas of the law and who are not certified specialists in bankruptcy are now taking bankruptcy cases? What recommendations do you have, and what should consumers do?
Sure. Here's what concerns me about that. Every lawyer who is licensed to practice law in California is entitled to represent you in a bankruptcy case. That's fine. And I have no problem with it so long as they know what they're doing. The problem you see in tough economic times like this is that traditional areas of law practice tend to dry up. For example, let's talk about family law, divorce. A lot of people simply cannot afford to get a divorce. They might like to, but maybe one spouse has been unemployed and would have nowhere to go if they separate right now. There's a lot of people still living together that are very unhappy and would like to be divorced or separated, but for economic reasons, they're still living under the same roof. As a result of that, divorce lawyers don't have as much business as they used to have. Many lawyers who suffer a loss of income from their traditional areas of law practice will gravitate into bankruptcy law. Why? They think, it's hard times. There must be a lot of people filing bankruptcy cases. I'll just put an ad in the Yellow Pages or on the Internet. I'll run some ads, and I'll start a bankruptcy practice. It'll be a good way to make fast money. Well, it's not a good way to make fast money. The lawyers quickly get in over their heads many times, and who suffers the most but the client? That's the kind of lawyer to avoid, in my view. Bankruptcy is a specialty. It is a specialty. I've spent the last 34 years of my professional life studying bankruptcy law. There are still some areas of bankruptcy law that I don't fully understand, and I don't handle them in my practice, such as certain types of corporate reorganization work, things of that nature. I don't go near it. You have to know what you know and stick to it. And when you go to a lawyer who does divorces, dog bites, motorcycle accidents, unemployment law, Social Security law, they got a whole list of, they do everything. How could they possibly be really good in all of those fields? Probably they do have expertise in a few areas, but you can't have a good level of expertise in every field of law. It's just not possible. Why go to somebody like that? It doesn't cost any more to go to a true bankruptcy specialist than someone who's just dabbling in it trying to get rich.
All right, let me do. In terms of the statewide version of the program, we have about 5 minutes left or so. We haven't even touched upon foreclosures. Let's say somebody, and a lot of people, unfortunately, have been subjected to this. They are finding that the fair market value of their home has gone below the amount owing on the mortgage or mortgages. Some people refer to that as going underwater. Maybe they've lost their jobs or been demoted, or someone's sick and a lot of money is, instead of going to mortgages, is going for medical bills, etc. What can bankruptcy do for someone who's facing, let's say, the threat of a foreclosure of their home?
Yeah, someone who's got a house that they can't afford is a person that needs to talk to a bankruptcy lawyer. It doesn't mean you're going to file bankruptcy. It means you're going to be educated on what your options are. And then you decide what you want to do. I talk to people all the time who I may say, don't file bankruptcy. I don't think it's an adequate remedy for what you have, or you don't need a bankruptcy for certain reasons. But instead of sitting there wondering what your legal rights are, and of course that's the name of this radio show, Your Legal Rights, find out. You can go to, like I said a few moments ago, you can go talk to bankruptcy lawyers for free. If you don't like the first one you talk to, go talk to 10 more. There's plenty of people, there's plenty of lawyers out there that you can speak to. If you're facing a foreclosure, you're facing a situation with a home that you cannot afford, a bankruptcy lawyer is going to have good ideas for you. A bankruptcy case, traditional bankruptcy case like Chapter 7, may help you get rid of enough other kinds of debts like credit cards that maybe now you'll be able to afford your normal house payment. If you're behind on house payments, maybe you had a bad patch of luck and you couldn't make your payments for a while, but that's in the past, you've gotten back on your feet, but you're still behind and facing now the loss of your home, there's a type of bankruptcy called Chapter 13. Chapter 13 is a fantastic remedy for someone in that situation because you can force your lender to accept a repayment schedule over as long as 5 years to catch up the payments on your house. Your lender is not going to give you ordinarily a deal like that. If you can get a loan modification from your lender on good terms, that's wonderful. But if your lender doesn't want to talk to you anymore or has turned you down for loan modification, Chapter 13 can be an extraordinary remedy in your favor. Another thing people need to explore is if you know you're going to walk away from your house, you probably have other debts like credit cards, maybe some medical bills. Talk to a bankruptcy lawyer. The bankruptcy laws today are very strict and they're very complicated. The laws are especially harsh on people who have above average income. Believe me, you can have an above average income and still have serious debt problems. I see it every day. Your chances of having a traditional bankruptcy granted will be much easier, much better, if you are still a homeowner. The bankruptcy laws are tilted in favor of people who have real estate debt. Believe it or not, it's harder to get a bankruptcy granted when you have no assets than it is when you do have assets, even if they're underwater.
Leon, we've come to the end of the statewide version of the program, and for those people who are listening to us live, we'll have give them a chance to call in just a few minutes. I want to let you all know that Mr. Baer's co-authored books, which I highly recommend if you're facing possible bankruptcy, if you're facing a foreclosure on your property. Two books published by NOLO, that's N-O-L-O, The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work for You? Fifth edition, and The Foreclosure Survival Guide, which is also a new edition. And if you can't afford the books, actually in your local public library, you should find them. You should be able to find them in the consumer section. It's about 7:28 and a half. This is 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. I'm Chuck Finney. The number here, in case you'd like to call in, whether you're in the Bay Area or you're listening to us on the internet at www.kalw.org, is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you have a question about bankruptcy, my guest is Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. His offices are in Los Angeles. If you have not become familiar with the name Leon Baer, Leon has been a guest on my program several times over the last few years. He has been incredibly generous with his time. When we do Call a Lawyer Night, which is usually the fourth Wednesday of the month, Leon will take calls the next morning, Thursday morning, on his 800 number, and that's what he will be doing on October 24th, because our next Call a Lawyer Night will be in 2 weeks on October 23rd. My guest on the air will be the new State Bar President, Luis Rodriguez. And in that program, we're going to be talking about immigration fraud and scams being played on persons who would like to become legalized in this country. In any event, the number again, 1-415-841-4134. Let me also mention to you, in case you would like to put this on your calendar, the San Mateo County Law Library, which is right across the street from my office in Redwood City in the Hall of Justice, is going to, on November 7th, Thursday, November 7th, have a Basics of Declaring Bankruptcy. Attorney Matthew Gretsch will discuss the basics of how to declare bankruptcy, the differences between Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies, the qualification requirements for each. This is at noon. You can bring your lunch. It's free. It's a great service that the San Mateo County Law Library provides. It'll be on Thursday, November 7th at noon. And that's in downtown, Redwood City at 710 Hamilton Street, Redwood City, across the street from the Hall of Justice. And the number, in case you want some more information, is 650-363-4913, 650-363-4913. If you would like to talk to Leon, the number is 1-415-841-4134, and we'll start with GS. GS, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you very much.
Sure.
Leon and Strafini, I really appreciate what you do. Let me boil it down very simply. I've been an entrepreneur, and a long story, but bottom line, in the year 2000 or so, I had to take retirement, early retirement, due to a disability, and I had been a good entrepreneur. I had saved up a whole year's gross income so I could pay all my creditors, the IRS, and everybody, but I don't know, I must have underestimated. Anyway, bottom line, I paid all my creditors first, thinking that was the more appropriate thing to do, and in retrospect, the more obvious and legally intelligent thing to do would have been to pay the IRS first. So anyway,
we have an old rule in bankruptcy, and that is pay the debts you can't discharge and don't pay the debts that you can discharge.
Exactly. Well, I wish I'd known that then. But anyway, the odd thing is, now this was back in the year approaching 2000, then the year 2000 came, well, we had a new millennium. Everybody thought we were going to go to work, and I, you know, as a contractor, I found work. But then the end of my first contract into the year, there was nothing after that. And I had thought I'd be making enough money to totally retire my obligation to the IRS by April 15th of the year 2000.
G.S., what is the legal question that you have?
Okay, sorry, I don't mean to draw into detail. The legal question is this. When I could not retire my $10,000 obligation to the IRS on April 15th, just wasn't possible. There was no money. They basically hit me with penalties and interest, and not too long after that, I've had to take retirement because of disability, and that still stands as a more or less permanent black mark against my credit. I will never own a home. I will never be able to borrow money, and I'd love to repay that money, but I just don't know how. I've gone to the IRS twice in person, tried to set up a repayment plan, and I thought we'd gotten somewhere, but it never came to anything.
So let me get some comments
yes.
from Leon.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. Okay, GS. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, Leon. What comments do you have for GS?
Okay, GS, if you have a need for bankruptcy for other reasons, you have current debts of the nature of credit cards, personal loans, things like that. If you need a bankruptcy case anyway, it is very possible that you're going to get relief from the IRS debt. Most people don't know this, and most people don't even believe it could be true, but taxes, income taxes, really can be discharged in a bankruptcy case if you meet the criteria. Basically, it has to be a tax that you have owed for more than 3 years. You must have filed an honest tax return, and it has to be at least 240 days since the time that the tax was assessed. So, GS, he's talking about, I think, taxes that go back to the early 1980s. If he needs a bankruptcy case anyway, his income taxes are probably going to be dischargeable, provided he filed an honest return.
Now, is there, in terms of bankruptcy, is there any kind of, let's assume his income tax obligations go back at least 10 years or even more, Is there a statute of limitations problem that says, hey, it's too late for you to file bankruptcy for those? Those cannot be discharged now.
No. Okay. So long as he has filed his own tax return, and even a late filed return will still allow you to discharge the underlying tax, so long as the late return was done more than 2 years prior to the bankruptcy.
Yeah.
For a tax debt which has to be at least 3 years old. The rules on this get tricky, so talk to a specialist about it.
It sounds like, although we had to cut him off a bit because he was had a lot of details he wanted to try to get across, which is very difficult in this program, sounds like he didn't have an attorney. And what I want to do for you, GS, if you didn't get it, I'll give you the statewide telephone number for the Board of Legal Specialization, and wherever you may be, you can find out from them who the certified specialists in bankruptcy are, and then you call those offices and make an appointment to go in. As Leon has discussed earlier in the program, most bankruptcy certified specialists will give you the initial consultation without a charge. And that number, 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100. Also, there is the website, www.californiaspecialist.org. californiaspecialist.org. Again, you can go to that. You can find out on that in the category of certified specialists who the certified specialists are in your area. And then, of course, you have to call the offices and ask a few questions and find out if you can have an initial consultation. Certainly, you need to do that. All right, Rose, welcome.
Go ahead. One more thing better throw in
please.
The answer for GS.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to get angry letters from the CPAs that are listening.
Oh, no, we don't want that.
I'm not a tax guy. But I believe there is a 10-year statute of limitations on the IRS.
Mm.
So if you've owed them the money and 10 years go by and they still haven't been able to collect all of it from you, then they'll stop collecting after 10 years.
Ah, interesting.
One pitfall that may have happened to GS is that if you get into trouble and they're trying to work things out with you, they may ask you to waive the statute.
Sure.
Which means the tax stays collectible forever, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know just enough about this to be dangerous. So, GS, if you're still listening, please talk to a CPA or a tax attorney.
All right. Rose, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hello. I'll make this very brief because it's not really a question, but I really want to thank Mr. Baer because I called the last time that he was on and told him that although I wasn't yet behind on my credit card bills, I had $16,000 worth of debt and an income of $930 a month, mostly from Social Security, because I had been unemployed for so long. And could I file bankruptcy even though I wasn't yet behind in my debt? And he said, oh, yes, you'd be a good candidate for it. And I got the NOLA Press book out of the library and downloaded the forms, and I did it all by myself.
So you are a bankrupt?
I am bankrupt.
Good for you.
I did it all by myself. It took me a couple weeks mainly because it was so tedious. But I'm very good at attention to detail. So I filed them a couple of weeks ago, and I even got a waiver of the $300 fee because of my low income. And I have my hearing in about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I'm just kind of really happy with myself because I did
Chuck
it
and
all.
Chuck and I are very proud of you, Rose.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the kind words you had about me, but your voice sounds very familiar. Are you my mother?
Rose, is this your son?
But anyway, I just wanted to say that thank you, and I want other people out there who are really low income and thinking about this to realize that, yes, you can do it. It's a bit boring and it takes a while, but if you get the book and you get all those forms, you can really fill them out. And I want to give big credit to the NOLA Press books.
Yeah, I'm a great believer in the NOLA Press books. Not only do they have great information, but they also have the forms. Where is your hearing going to be? In what city, Rose?
San Francisco.
Okay,
and
all right.
Of course, being so low income, I am sort of judgment proof, but I'm so glad I got it off my
good for
chest
you.
Anyway, because if by some miracle I should find a good job, then I won't have all that debt hanging over me. All that debt would be sucking up at least half of my extra income.
Well, listen, you get back to me in a few weeks and let us know how you did, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks very much for calling.
Yeah.
Nice to hear what you're doing.
Rose, I'd love to have you call back in 2 weeks when State Bar President Luis Rodriguez is on the show and put in a good word for me with the State Bar President. in case my file ever winds up on
that desk. That's hilarious. Okay. Yeah, Rose, you better call when Luis Rodriguez is here and say, gee, I love Leon Bayer. And you can also say that about me, too. So we get Luis really happy about both Leon and me.
Wow, now I'm giving references for attorneys. Wow.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye. Yeah, let us know. I want you to call back and let me know at some point what the story is in terms of your dealing in the bankruptcy court. Nice to have you call. All right, 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on bankruptcy law. We've been talking about making some realistic decisions with bankruptcy in mind, whether it's foreclosures or borrowing from loan sharks, or perhaps you are faced with student loans, and how Leon has said you got to be really careful because there are a lot of scammers out there now who are going out to people who have student loans, telling them that because of the shutdown in the government, that now there's a way that you can negotiate away your student loan. This is really not true. This is a big scam. So, all right, 1-415-841-4134. And Marcia, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have not ever explored bankruptcy in the past, but find myself unemployed for a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
and was wondering at what point it is worth filing for bankruptcy if you have an attorney, how that is paid for, given that you have no money or very little money, and how that protects your assets in the future should someone try to take monies from you.
What do you mean, someone try to take money from you? I don't understand.
I'm very concerned about my future finances, and I'm afraid that people are going to try to sue me or do something.
Okay, Marcia, you've asked a lot of really good questions all bundled together. I don't think we'll have time to answer each segment of your questions, but to me the most important question you've asked is, when should you consider a bankruptcy? If you've been unemployed and you're living off of savings to keep up with debt payments, I think that is a horrible mistake.
Okay.
That is a warning bell to
right.
go see
I've been
a bankruptcy lawyer.
For a long time.
Most likely, in almost all cases, your savings are going to be protected in the bankruptcy case. The law is very generous. Monies that you have in retirement accounts, 401k accounts, these are monies that you should not be drawing down for to meet debt payments.
Okay.
Because money in those kinds of retirement plans is protected, is given very special protection in a bankruptcy case. You can have more than $1 million in an IRA account and still be allowed to file bankruptcy.
So that would not be a...
The money you have in a 401k and a 403b, there's other different programs, can be completely protected no matter how much it is.
And I'm sorry, can you repeat for the IRA?
This is a good time for you to see a lawyer. I'm sorry, you said something about an IRA?
She said, would you repeat that about an IRA?
How much?
Yeah. IRA accounts, individual retirement accounts, whether it's a Roth or the traditional form of IRA, are protected up to a little bit over $1 million.
Okay.
So if you're pulling money out every month to keep up with your credit card payments,
yeah.
it's time to talk to a lawyer.
You have not talked to a lawyer. Is that right, Marcia?
No,
okay.
I have not.
And where do you live?
I live in San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, did you get the both the phone number and the website for the Board of Legal Specialization?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did. And I was just wondering, how do you pay the attorney?
Yeah, that's
okay,
a good point.
Another good question.
Excellent.
Let's say you're pulling $1,000 a month out of your IRA accounts to pay your credit card bills. you can easily afford a lawyer.
Okay. And what
if
there's something...
Let him finish. Marcia, let him finish, please.
Okay.
It's a great investment because for the... To be relieved of debts that if you just keep making minimum payments, it could take you 30, 32, 33 years to pay off the credit cards.
Yeah.
Just making minimum payments every month. Why not spend a couple months' worth of credit card payments on the cost of a lawyer and be done with it? And then the rest of your money in the future is yours.
Okay.
Well, we're going to move on, Marcia. Thank you very much for calling. We have a lot of people who want to talk to Leon.
Okay. I just wanted to ask, though, if there were some kind of future debt imposed on me, if I would be protected from
that. A bankruptcy discharge protects you forever from all debts that were discharged in your bankruptcy.
Yeah, but I mean, if you incur another debt in the future, Marcia, then you're starting, from the ground up again.
Okay, and that would include any kind of legal actions against you or someone
Your bankruptcy will only protect you from debts that exist on the date you file bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You really need to have that initial consultation, Marcia, so that... And also, I highly recommend that you at least go to the consumer section in your local public library and take a look at Leon's The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work For You?, the fifth edition of that book. I really feel that you should probably buy it and have it in your home, but certainly take a look at it. And it's a great way to educate yourself. And that's the best way, I think, for a consumer to really try to take advantage of what the law is and make it work for you. So good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a referral to a lawyer. For a referral to a lawyer, you can call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in the state of California, every county has a lawyer referral service with a bar association, of course. And you can call your own during normal business hours, tell them what the problem is, and they'll line up an attorney, experienced attorney for you for a half an hour consultation. I'm talking about a very broad range of different areas of the law. At this point, you may have landlord-tenant, for example, or employment law, or whatever it may be. And they'll set up a half-an-hour consultation, depending on the county and depending on the lawyer referral service. For a half-an-hour consultation, it might be a low of $25, maybe a high of $35. It's a great consumer service. All right.
Let me add to that, please, that the listeners, you heard, we covered a pretty good amount of territory there with Marcia and some of the other callers. Imagine how much more territory you're going to cover in a half hour with a lawyer.
Oh, sure. Of course. And frankly, my feeling is if you do some research, you do some homework by taking a look at Leon's The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work For You? Book. It's a large paperback book so that you have some begin to think about the issues when you do see a certified specialist in bankruptcy. That, to me, would be an even better consultation that you would have if you have some background. Okay, Rose, this is another Rose. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. And I have a friend whose son is on SSI. Mentally disturbed, and he had gotten a credit card, and it's up to $1,000 right now, and he has no income other than the SSI, mm-hmm. which takes care of his housing and food.
Yeah.
Now, is he eligible to file bankruptcy?
He's eligible to file, but he doesn't need to, and he shouldn't.
Okay, what would be the procedure? Because apparently he has no control over his expenses, and he just, goes and buys things wantonly.
Well, unless you're going to put a financial conservatorship on him, or his mother is, you can't, he's an adult person, and you can't stop him.
Right.
If he has the credit card and he's making his payments,
he's not
entitled
he's
to
not.
Use it.
He's not making the payments.
No, he's
over
not. That's
all right.
This is the issue.
Then the best thing to do is, you know, when someone like that comes to me, what I do for them at no charge is I write a letter to the creditor.
Oh.
I say this person is judgment proof. They live on SSI. They're in subsidized housing. They have no money to pay you, and they're not going to pay you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And please cancel the card.
Probably, yeah.
Well, the card is canceled because he's not paying it. So
yeah.
He no longer has.
It'll be canceled pretty
no,
quick.
They want them to cancel the debt. They're not going to cancel the debt because everybody who has bills would call them up and ask the same thing. So they're not going to cancel the debt. But you just make it clear to them he's not paying it. I tell people you can see in that situation, you can tell the bill collector yourself, I'm not going to pay you. What do you think you're going to do to me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you get a lawyer to write this letter?
If you are so lucky as to find a lawyer to do it for free, that's a great thing.
Yeah. Otherwise, do it yourself. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can his counselor do that, or would it have to be a member of his family?
You know, it doesn't. It could be anybody. It could be somebody he's sitting next to in, you know, in the cafe. It just doesn't matter. Don't expect them to pay attention to the letter because they get letters like this all the time
yeah.
from people that can afford to pay and don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So they don't just take everybody's word for it.
Uh-huh.
But if the account has gone to a third-party debt collector...
No, it hasn't.
Okay. Well, just letting them know what the story is a good place to start.
And they will not.
No reason for him to pay it.
And they will not cancel the card. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the card is canceled. He can't use it anymore. Oh, you're asking to cancel the debt? That's not very likely.
They're not going to cancel the debt.
Because they have no way of believing whether or not it's true what you're telling them.
But she's wondering.
My question is, will they cancel the card so he can no longer use it to charge?
Rose, if the payments on the card are now delinquent, they have already canceled it.
Yeah,
they have.
They'll only let it go so long, Rose.
Yeah, they don't let you keep using a credit card after you stop paying on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, they won't continue to charge interest on that.
Well, they may.
They will continue to charge interest on the balance that he already owes.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That he will not be able to use the card. Is this what?
I'm sure they've already cut him off, so he can't use it anymore.
Yeah. We're going to move on, Rose. Thank you very much for calling. And again, it may be helpful to you and this young man if you were, since you are so interested in this, if you are to take a look at Leon's The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work For You? Take a look at the book and educate yourself, and then maybe you can help this young man along with his mother, and maybe that will get him going in the right direction. Thank you very much for calling. All right, here's a question that came in. Can someone being, Leon, can someone being hounded by a creditor take the creditor to court in order to sue for harassment? Are there different remedies for different collection agents? Are you aware of this?
Yes. There is a federal law. It's the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, which does give you some protections as a consumer, but only if the debt has been assigned to a third party. If the debt, for example, is still being collected by the original bank that you owed money to, then those federal laws do not apply to the original creditor, only to a collection agent.
Hmm.
A collection agent cannot harass you, but harassment is an interesting thing. It's a state of mind. The Supreme Court many years ago ruled that in the matter of laws banning obscenity, obscenity is something where you know it when you see it, but they could never really define what it is. The same is true of harassment. If a bill collector calls you and says, would you please make your payment? They are entitled to do that. You may feel they're harassing you, but a simple phone call asking you to make a payment is not legally harassment. If they start calling you every 10 minutes, that becomes harassment. Whether it is a third-party debt collector or the original creditor, no creditor, no bill collector is entitled to submit you to something that we lawyers call intentional infliction of emotional suffering.
And also, I would recommend in a situation like that, if you're being subjected to this by a debt collector, and they will not stop calling you several times at home, or maybe they'll even call you at your place of employment, which they're, if you tell them not to, they're not supposed to. You could file a complaint with your local district attorney's office, Consumer Protection Unit. Get a complaint form, fill it out, and the DA's office at the very least. I say this because I deal with this stuff in my office at the San Mateo County DA's office, Consumer Protection Unit. We would at the very least send a letter to the debt collector pointing out your, and including a copy of your complaint, asking them to respond. And if we got a number of complaints like that from several consumers in my county, which is San Mateo County, we would even consider bringing an unfair, unlawful business practices action. It's a civil action against the debt collection company, which could subject them to what's called civil penalties. It's like a penalty. It's like an actual penalty, a fine. And so that kind of will slow down and make a debt collection company pay some notice to someone who's having a problem. I think we
now,
have.
Go ahead,
Leon. Go ahead.
Okay. Quick suggestion
yeah.
for the listeners who have this kind of harassment problem: if you've got an answering machine or voicemail, bill collectors are not always the brightest people, and they leave terribly incriminating messages on your answering machine. one of my clients turned a recording over to me where the debt collector has made probably four or five extremely serious violations of law, all of them given on a telephone answering machine where the debt collector knew he was leaving a message. So when you're going to make a complaint, especially to the district attorney's office, if you have some evidence to back up what you're saying, your complaint will go a lot farther.
And, yeah, if you can make a recording of that and submit it along with your complaint to the DA's office, or at least put into your written complaint what the threats were, and then hold on to that message if you can on your telephone in case the DA's office might have one of its inspectors come and make a recording if possible. It's a great way to do it. We have run out of time, unfortunately, Leon. I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me again.
It's a great, great pleasure having you on the program. Leon Bayer will be available again to talk with you off the air on Thursday, October 24th, from probably around 8 to noon or something like that. I will let you know about that on the evening before, which will be October 23rd, when the State Bar President Luis Rodriguez will be here. That'll also be our Call a Lawyer night. Leon Bayer is a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. His offices are in Los Angeles. His two very good books that he's a co-author of are The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work for You?, and The Foreclosure Survival Guide. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. Additional funding is provided by the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, the Lawyer and Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. And next week, if you're into social media and you have it at your workplace, we're going to talk about privacy issues and who owns the content, employers or employees. My guests will be employment law attorneys Tyler Patko and Robert Nuttleman. Thanks for joining us on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.